So Risky was Tom, Pete, and Richie.
Yeah.
And the dangerous duo were you and Ali.
Yeah, me and Ali. So we'd both go off to various gigs. John Paul must have got. Well, we must have got various phone calls, but I imagine John Paul had a big hand in a lot of the work.
So how did it all meld in together with John Paul and Arts Bay Umbrella? Because obviously that was quite a thing, do you know?
Well, it's coincidental that he was going to set up his own business from the play schemes that he'd been doing. So it all came out of an era, really. So Mike Chubb went on to work for the council and organised the Cardiff International Street Festival, where there wasn't anything like that before. And that gave a good launch pad for some of our work and things, and brought a lot of that to the, because this is in the early days of street theatre, which was just busking in those days. Really.
Where was Mike Chubb in the story?
Well, I think he managed the play schemes, and John Paul also worked for the play schemes. But John went on to set up Arts Play Umbrella. I think he fell in love with the circus, and he bought the Merriweather Marquee from Alistair and Tina, who were together at the time, and toured that for many, many years. And of course, we were, and he employed us to do shows and workshops as well.
So, where did those early tours take you to?
He'd organised the tours all.
Lauren was born in August 88, and that was you were with John Paul then.
So
you had to leave Ali juggling alone.
No, she had to manage the workshops on her own. Yeah, because Lauren was a month early, so it wasn't planned that way. But in the middle of the night, Alison was going to hospital, having the baby. Well, we didn't really know at that time. And then, of course, Ali had to cover while I was in the hospital.
So that must have been quite exciting.
Yeah, dramatic.
You know, going off on your first kind of tour with John Paul, buying your caravans and things. Can you remember how much your caravan cost back then?
To be honest, we didn't have.
We
kicked
it
out.
Oh, okay.
We started off with one van, and I think we all just bussed in together. I don't remember touring caravans.
Right.
Some of the others, I don't remember a caravan.
So what vehicle were you in then?
Might have had a car and a tent and things. It's surprising how vague I am about all this, really.
To start with, it was those yellow post office vans, wasn't it? They were the first vans that we had as balls.
Did they tour
the
with John Paul? Did they tour with John Paul?
No. I've seen a photograph of one of those yellow vans at Hay.
They were destined for Idi Amin, but never got there.
Were they? Tell us the story about that.
Well, I think they were. We always called them the BT Telecom vans, but I think Idi Amin of Uganda had ordered them, but because of politics being what they are and him being the dictator that he was, they never got sent. So then they were auctioned off cheap. I wasn't involved in the buying of them or anything like that. But I think that's the story behind those vans, those vehicles. So they were presumably modified to go off to Uganda.
Right. And instead they went off to deal.
Could well be, yeah. Whoever bought them at auction.
It wasn't a yellow one, actually, that was in deal. It was a white one. It was your one that was a white one.
Well, it wasn't mine, but the first Iveco was a white one.
Quite a long one.
Yeah, well, we got turned up with two of the Ivecos. Which got, converted into rough and ready camper vans because it was the time of the convoy and things like that.
No, I know what happened with the first yellow van, which was the one that was Pete and Tom's. It got burnt in Benidorm.
So,
how could you forget that?
Were you there? Did you go down to Benidorm?
Yeah, we travelled down. We met them up there. We went to David's Beetle. So it's me, David, and Tom in David's Beetle, and we had parked up behind their van and went off to do a juggling show.
a fire show.
We've gone back to the fire stuff.
And this was a kind of busking thing, was it?
Yeah, just we were on our way to the
earn our diesel as we went.
Yeah. The Dublin convention in Spain, I think it was that year. So we went back to collect the juggling equipment and the fire equipment and discovered that the van was on fire itself.
We think it was the Benidorm Liberation Front who'd been setting light to a few camper vans.
They were obviously British.
Because they didn't like the fact Benidorm was like an outpost of the worst of Britain.
Right,
yeah.
So they wanted to.
So it was lucky actually that we had
the Spanish
car,
people,
because the car was parked behind and the car was safe, so we had some other transport to
the Beetle for how many people?
Well, so I think the insurance paid. Some people got flights and flew down or flew back. I'm not sure exactly what happened. But yeah,
there's a whole story in itself. You know, they've been living out on the street outside the burnt out truck with, you know, silly things survived the fire, like a parking ticket, whereas passports didn't, things like that. Generosity of people in the flats that overlooked us, taking the insurance claim forms to the police station, the police complaining that they were dirty. You know, we said, well, we're living with burnt out belongings on the street, you know. It's ridiculous. So there was lots of stupid thing. You had to see the comedy in it all as well. A few people had insurance, which put us up in a hotel, but, you know, we just managed to sneak everyone else in on. I think only two people had some travel insurance. Things were all a little different in those days. And I went off to Malaga and blagged £100 off my uncle. Because fortunately, you still had some transport with the car.
So, where did the £100 get you to the juggling convention or back
home? Just to buy some. It still wasn't that much money. It bought some food and fuel and that, you know. It was shared around to help everybody, I think. Because Malaga was just up the road.
But that didn't dampen your enthusiasm for...
Not really, it was a bit of a surprise, a bit of a shock, a bit of a disaster, but no, we still managed to have a laugh.
So you continued or you...
No, we got to the juggling convention that Toby had organised in Castellar,
right,
de la Frontera, which was his old hill fort.
Yeah.
That Franco had wanted to turn into one of his summer villas, so he moved all the residents of the old fort into a new home at the bottom of the hill. But it never, you know, it was a civil war, wasn't it? But that's how the story goes, and then the fort got taken over by sort of hippies and travellers and that, and Toby organised this amazing juggling convention there, which we did all in Castellar de la Frontera.
Yeah.
Which it was just, yeah, it was all magic, you know. I remember juggling by moonlight, you know, with moon shadows and, you know, and a great public show and lots of fantastic people there. The Butterfly Man was one of them. He's a bit of a legend.
Not heard of the Butterfly Person. Can you tell me about him?
Well, Toby knew an awful lot more about him. We just saw his show. I think he had a tattoo of a butterfly, but he just did a pretty anarchic act. You know, he'd hit kids with foam bats or those float things, and, you know, but in a funny way. It's all very funny. And,
I don't remember that.
And can you remember being inspired by what you saw in Spain? Because people think that street art and juggling was a little bit more advanced in Europe. Is that what your opinion was when you first went there?
There was always room for seeing new things. Like, I think if we'd been able to hang around Barcelona, this is before everyone just stood as human statues, you'd have seen people following and doing clever stuff like that. The Butterfly Man's from the States.
But
people like Kevin
Spanish
Brooking. Kevin Brooking was a big part in all that. So, you know. I guess we were just had a great enthusiasm. So when we saw someone doing fantastic original clowning, you know, we'd think, wow, you know, that's the sort of stuff we like, and that's the sort of stuff we'd aspire to achieve ourselves. Or fantastic, amazing skills. You know, amazing, like, blown away by some people doing Diablo and things, that, or this German guy who'd written in a book 130 different three-ball juggling tricks. You know, he was quite organised, but his juggling was just mesmeric. It was just fantastic.